just a sinus infection, so I decided I would come in since I'm not contagious. So the past couple of weeks, I believe the Holy Spirit has made me recognize that my relationship with the Lord has not what it should have been. I was missing the closeness that the Lord wanted, that the Lord wants to have with each of us. So this message is about drawing near to Him. Please recognize that I'm still trying to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in my walk with Him, and I will be until I'm like Him. So through the message, I hope to cover what hinders us from being near to Him, to remind us that if you sometimes feel distant from God, there is hope, to remind you that God longs to be with us, how to draw near to Him, and the blessings that come from drawing near to Him. I ask you during this message to look at Christ's life as the example that you want to follow concerning this topic, because I've learned when I compare myself with other sinful people as myself, I become less convicted of my distance from God. Christ serves the example of always longing to be close to the Father while going through life on this earth. We see Him on many different occasions in the Bible. As I was studying this subject, the feeling of conviction overwhelmed me, as well as a longing to have the relationship that God wants me to have. I hope that these feelings also find a way into your heart so that you too may be encouraged to draw near to God. So, like any relationship, if there's an issue, it's good to know who caused the problem and what the problem is between the two people. So what hinders us from being near to God? For both the unbeliever and the believer, the answer is a sin-centered problem. However, the believer's sin has been forgiven of him because of the salvation that he's received. So number one, understand that we are the ones who have hindered the relationship between us and God. Recognize that we are the ones that created the problem in the relationship and not Him. We are the ones with the sin problem. If you will, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. The temptation and fall of man. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the very tree of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman who you gave to me, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his own hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So that concludes chapter 3. So the very first account of man sinning was of course, Adam and Eve. So you see, we're the reason for this separation between God and man. Adam and Eve, the first humans on earth, were the first ones to disobey God. So looking back at verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and from the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So here we see a great example of how we are guilty of being unfaithful in our relationship with the Lord. Adam and Eve fled God's presence because they knew they had done wrong in the eyes of God. Maybe this sounds familiar in your own life. It does for me. I'm guilty of running from the Lord's presence because of my sin. And every time I have to ask myself, why do I do this? Because in the end, I always come back to Him with a humbled heart. And I'm so thankful the Lord has been so faithful. And I'm so thankful the Lord has been so faithful and patient with me. Next, recognize that Jesus Christ never changes. As our brother Tim shared in the Lord's Supper on Sunday, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change like me, because like I know myself, I can change a thought from good to bad in a split second. Although our sins are and unfaithfulness are so great, God tells us in Deuteronomy 31 that He will never leave us or forsake us. While studying, I couldn't help but think of the passage in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. We have the incredible opportunity to serve God, who is continually faithful and true, when we are continually unfaithful and deceitful. So the point is, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, make no mistake about which one of you has gone astray. So both of the reasons our relationship is hindered with God is sin-based. So the next one is sin. So sin hinders us from being closer to God in our relationship. Sin keeps us from a number of things, but first of all, it keeps us from being holy. Since God is a holy being, He cannot be near sin. So can you please turn to Isaiah 59, and I'll just read the 8 verses there. Sorry about my voice, it's a little rough, so. Isaiah 59:1, separated from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face away from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. Verse 4, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So in verse 2, where it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. This verse tells us that our sin is the reason we are separated from God. We are such an unholy people, we needed to be saved from our helpless estate. So the next thing that sin keeps us from is from longing for the things of the Lord, and longing for the Lord. You see, as believers, we should spiritually be hungry and thirsting after him, as seen in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And also in Isaiah 55, and verses 1 and 2, it says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. May we long to come close to him and resist evil and the emptiness of sin. I found, as I was studying for this, I was looking up articles about hungering and thirsting for God, and I found a good one, and I'd like to read just a little bit from it. It's based off of, or the people who read it, are Harvest Prayer Ministries. It's very moving in the whole passage, and I encourage you to look up the whole passage if you have the time. But it explains how sin keeps us from seeking after God. Spiritually speaking, there is a hunger for God that is often not recognized for what it is. It may be an empty feeling, a sense of longing, even loneliness in the midst of people. We start looking for ways to make the feeling go away, to fill up the emptiness. In a sense, we begin to look for the junk food that will mask the pains of hunger within. The danger of this type of behavior is that we are dull in our sense of hunger for God. In the same way that continued snacking throughout the day can dull our appetite and cause us to pass up a good, nutritious meal that our body needs so we can fill up our schedules and desires to the point that we do not even realize that we no longer desire the presence of God. So maybe in your own lives you can see how sin dulls our appetite for the things of the Lord, because we tend to look and use other things to fill our time up and fill the emptiness that we have. When our appetites drift away from the Lord and toward the world around us, we should remind ourselves that the things that this world offers, they are temporary, and that only the things from the Lord, only the things that the Lord has for us will last for eternity. It is important to know most Christians have been in this position as well, and I know I have, and the Lord can use each of us to teach and encourage one another. Many of y'all know I was saved at an early age, and if you were saved at an early age like me, you know that there are tremendous blessings that come from it to start your journey so early with the Lord, before you're exposed to the true darkness of the world. But also you should know that you have to face the darkness of the world sometime. So what I'm trying to say is it could be easier to fall into temptations that the world has to offer if you were saved at an early age, because you haven't experienced the temptations that Satan attacks you with. So continually increase your time with the Lord and His people, so you'll be able to withstand Satan's temptations and be able to continue a fruitful relationship with the Lord. In 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." So just a reminder that we're not alone, and we're in the walk with Christ together. In order to draw near to God, we must resist the devil and his attacks on our spiritual lives. He is a very powerful being, but we have the seal of the Holy Spirit protecting us. So know that that other believers are going through the same exact temptations that you are, and the Lord, and that the Lord wants to teach us and encourage encourage us by our brothers and sisters, and how they withstood the devil's attacks. Moving on to the next point. This next point was one of my favorite parts of the message, because it's such a blessing to recall and study and know that God longs to be with us. It's truly a challenge to understand how much God loves us. Some well-known verses about God's love for us to remind you of His love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." In Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So it's evident through Scripture that God wants to have a personal relationship with us, because He sent His only Son as a sacrifice to bring us eternal life with Him. It's important to realize, too, that the Lord has even given us a helper, the Holy Spirit, in order to be with us on our earthly journey. So He knows that we need some help through our walk with Him on the earth. The next passage is John 14:16-17. You don't have to turn, it's only two verses. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you." So the Holy Spirit's here to help us in our walk with the Lord. He's here to stir us up when the Lord wants us to do something. And it also gives us a good conscience. Also, He helps us understand God's Word. All the time I need that. And he makes it interesting in the way that another individual sees it as a different one does. Puts a little bit different twist, and it helps teach the other believers. In Romans 8:26, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." It's good to know that the Holy Spirit and the Son are interceding for us. Just knowing how much on a daily basis I sin, surely that helps helps our relationship with the Father. So God knew that we would need help going through this life because of our sin nature. It'll help us have, again, a more personal relationship with Him, because we too need to pray and confess our sins before Him. So we see that in both cases, the believer and the unbeliever, sin is what hinders our relationship with God, but that God still longs to be with us. So how do we draw near to Him? The main passage I'll be using for this section is James chapter 4 and verse 7, if y'all would turn there. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." So this is one of the most taught upon passages in Scripture about how to draw near to Him. It is clear that the only reason we're able to come near to God is because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as His active intercession for us. So the first point in the verse, I'm going to go sort of jump around in the verse, but the first thing that it tells us to do is submit to God. Submit means to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority of a will of another person. Certainly in this day and time, the people do not want to submit. They want control of their lives. They don't want to be told what to do, and they want to do what feels good to them. In my own life, I know that this is the flesh that is coming out in me. So, for the unbeliever, the only way to submit to God is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way to salvation. You have to be saved in order to submit to Him in other ways, because you have to accept His Son first. And some verses concerning the salvation. John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find a pasture." And Ephesians 2:13, "But now, though Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." These verses are also good for the believers, because we know what it's like on the other side. Like the first verse, it says, "He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find a pasture." We've seen a glimpse of the pasture that the Lord's made for us, and we look forward to the day where we'll be with Him. So for the believer, however, there's some more ways that we can submit to God. So obedience is one of the best ways to show your submission to Him. Submitting or yielding to Him in every aspect of your life That's easier said than done, for sure. But the main thing is, don't get caught up in the world around you so much that you lose your love for the Lord. Perhaps this is why fasting was so common in Jesus' day, and maybe we should fast from the good things that we do in life. I know that we do a lot of good things in the church, but we should probably sacrifice some of the good things so we can do more of the best things in life for the Lord. Another good way to draw near to Him is to walk in the Spirit. Please turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and I'll read 16 to 26. It was also interesting to see, I was like, while I was studying, I was going from like Genesis to Galatians to Revelation. This is taught throughout the whole word. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Miss Debbie, I almost did the signs up here, but I decided. Yeah. You see, walking in the Spirit is the cure for not letting sin overrule your life. A way to walk in the Spirit, because walking in the Spirit isn't that clear of an expression. Prayer is a great way to nurture your walk with the Lord. Psalm 145:18 is a verse of encouragement. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Prayer is a great way to stay near to God. It's very similar to our relationships on earth. In order to talk to somebody else, you must be close to them. Now imagine talking to God throughout each and every day of the week. Your longing to be near Him would become more evident to those around you, and most importantly, to Him. We should also walk in holiness and humility as we're going throughout this life. Holiness is one of the key attributes of God, and we should want the same to be said about us. Psalm 24:3-5 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? For He hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation." So, if you're a believer, God sees you as being holy. But it's not because we live holy lives. It's because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. Although we can't stay holy in this life, we should strive to be more like Christ. So don't give up. So how do we stay holy in the sinful world, or as holy as we can get? Study His Word, talk to Him through prayer, seek wise Christ-like counsel, and find friends that will continue to push you closer in your friendship, in your relationship with the Lord. I've been blessed to have many good friends here at the Bible Chapel that continue to push me to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. In addition to walking in the Spirit, we should also walk in humility. James 4:10, the last part of that passage that we read. Humble yourselves, in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. We would have no way to be close to God if it wasn't for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we have like no room to boast, because if we're near to God, we have no reason to boast. If you're close in your walk with God, it'll be apparent to those around you, so there's no reason to tell them. Do not take for granted the privilege you have to know God personally. It certainly is a privilege. So we've been through what hinders us from being close to God in our relationship, the hope that we have, and how to draw near to Him. And now I'd like to share with you some of the blessings that come from drawing near to Him. The main thing is that we'll become more like Christ. Romans 12:12 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we'll be more like Christ, which is the goal of the Christian on this earth, to be like Christ, which brings glory to God. And being more like Christ, we'll be doing the perfect will of God, just like Jesus did while He was living. Also, a benefit for us is we'll receive the blessing of knowing Him even better. It should be every Christian's desire to know Him better. We have such a great opportunity to have a relationship with the God of this universe. What an honor it is that He wants to show us. He wants to know us even though He knows of our unfaithfulness. Strengthen your relationship with Him so that you might be a brighter example of a person that draws near to God. You will continue to become a blessing to other people around you. The closer you are to God, the better example you will be to the people around you to do the same. So, like at the church, those who belong to Christ will have a spiritual family tree, the lineage of the people who led us to the faith. What an encouragement it is to see the growth of this local assembly. I haven't been around for the 30 years, but the past 18 years I've been alive, the work here at Reedsville Bible Chapel, I know has helped me recognize my need for a Savior. So may we become more like those before us and draw near to God. So desire to be near to Him because He longs to be with you. We know nothing bad comes from a heart that longs for a better relationship with Him. Nowhere in the Bible do we find something bad happens. If you do have trouble staying near to God in your relationship like me, I hope this message will stir up the Spirit inside of you like I found it to do in my personal life. I also hope it will encourage you to seek a closer relationship with your Father in heaven. And remember the words read in James chapter 4. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Another interesting thing that realized in that verse, it says, draw near to God. So we'll draw near to God. And then it says, He will draw near to you. So it's not like He might draw near to you. He's going to draw near to you. May you recall that you should always be growing and drawing near to Him until He comes again. We are so blessed to serve a God that seeks to have this close relationship with us. And I pray that everyone in this room tonight will know the presence of God in their life in a personal way. I'll close with 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Thank you for your time.